All right, thanks for tuning in into Mommies Are Us podcast. I'm sitting here with Nee and Mia. Go ahead and say hi.
What's up, y'all?
Hey. It's been a minute since we recorded another podcast, but we just wanted to sit down, have a conversation about the current events that's going on right now. I want to give a shout out to Spotify. Because they actually have a Black Lives Matter playlist we're playing right now off my TV. And I'm going to turn it over to Mia.
I just have to say, shout out to Nashville because, my gosh, Thursday was just historic. It was a historical moment.
Yeah.
Five young girls, five teenage girls that range from the age of 14 through 16, Mrs. Jade Fuller, Mrs. Naya Collins, Mrs. Z. Thomas, Mrs. Kennedy Green, and Mrs. Emma Rose Smith. They brought out 10,000 people, y'all.
Wow.
Like, shout out to them.
Yes.
Like, we are in a red state, and that's phenomenal to even see that. Like, these were kids who orchestrated this protest, and it was peaceful. It was noble as shit. Like, it was Saturday. It was just really peaceful, and I just have to commend this upcoming generation because they're letting it be known this racism shit stops here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's beautiful to see because they are ruthless, they're fearless, and we need that.
Right.
Like, we really need that. What y'all think about the protest?
I actually thought I'm gonna go back and piggyback on what you said on Thursday, so I'm gonna let you guys know on Thursday when the protest was going on, a girl by the name who went to TSU, an activist by the name of Journey. I might say her name wrong.
Is she from Memphis?
Memphis.
Janisha. Niecy.
But I want to give a shout out to her because she has been standing up. She is such a leader in our community and somebody who I can look up, especially since she's younger than me. But I can definitely look up to. She's definitely a role model. And I just want to thank her for all the stuff that she's doing for the community and bringing attention and awareness to our justice system. And I just think I was very proud to hear about what happened on Thursday about the protest. Like, it was very, very warm and very welcome to hear that it was peaceful. And the funny thing is, I was actually went to go to Craft Fever. If you're in Nashville, Tennessee, you know where Craft Fever is. It's actually over there on West End. And the Rosemont was blocked off. The interstates, they were blocking off the interstate because of the protest. And then they started blocking off the streets. So I drove to Madison to go pick up something and then came back towards Nashville and was heading to Craft Fever. And I noticed it was so many streets that was being blocked off. And the protest seems like it was being over because I had seen people like with signs that looked like they were walking to the cars. And the police was so, they just, literally you'd be driving down the street and then out of nowhere the police would come and like block the street off. And it's just like, okay, now I gotta turn around. And they like on the loudspeaker like yelling at me, telling me to turn around. I was like this big old mess.
No, they were really scared.
Yeah, I know
they were scared because they didn't know what we were going to, like what, far as we have that amount of people, we're outnumbering the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't even think, like, I'm pretty sure Governor Bill Lee, you feel me? Didn't even think this was even gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10,000 people?
Yeah.
That, it was like a waves of people, y'all.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I wanna give a big shout out to Mia.
Oh, Lord.
Because you have been, girl, literally rocking it on social media, being a voice, you know, speaking out. I know a lot of people are speaking out, but you've really spoke out. And I wanna know how your experience was, like, I know you did one, a protest, was it last year? Not last year. When was your last one?
Well, my last one was last year, but my first protest was about 6 years ago when Mike Brown got killed. 6, 7 years ago when Mike Brown got killed. And we did that in Memphis.
So how were the different, like, experiences? Like, were they the same? Like, how do you feel? Really, before we jump to that, how was your experience with this protest in Nashville?
This protest, it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to tell you what I love the most. White people were coming up to us and they were like, hey, there's police around the corner who already have the zip ties and tear gas. That's how it was on Saturday. On this past Thursday, white people were like, they were out, like they built a wall on the outskirts of us. So like all the black people were in the middle, all the white people on the outskirts.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Didn't get televised, of course, but that was beautiful. The fact that they're putting themselves, you know, in front of us because they know automatically our skin color is a threat
right
now.
Yeah.
And I think like the difference between 6, 7 years ago to now is that the fact I remember protesting on the streets in Memphis, and we were getting called niggers by people that was driving by, like, because we were the only black people out there, you know. But we was just like, we just want to, you know, recognize, like, at the time, I think my sign said something like, am I invisible because you choose to ignore my rights? Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. Like, you look at the history of how many black people are actually being harassed, being victimized by the police.
Right.
You will understand why I felt this way. So now it's beautiful to see why people are finally understanding. Because right. The message has not changed 7 years ago, just like the message has not changed 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're still fighting just to even just receive justice, just to even be equal. At the end of the day, we're humans.
Right.
And we don't have that privilege as a normal human in America has just because of our skin color.
I agree.
The fact that there have been protests, I think, around the world, literally in every state. This was the first time.
Countries.
What countries? Like, what do y'all think changed that?
I think it's our generation. I think our generation is tired of it. Our generation and the generation after us, we're tired of it. We're tired of the injustice. It's not just the police. It's the system. Like, we tired of everything. The education. What they do towards low income and black people, like black and brown people, like it's something that we all know and we all grew up. I'm very proud because I'm from Champaign, Illinois, and I grew up in a very diverse city. And I have white friends that I've known since I were like babies. Mm-hmm. And they have been standing up all day on Facebook. They also been commenting on letting their family and friends know, like, this is not what's going to happen. This is not what's up. And they've been very vocal. Yes. Very, very vocal. And I want to shout them out because I'm very thankful because I'm like, okay, these are my peers. These are people I grew up with. I have known the majority of my life, and to see them go out, and they've been the ones protesting, they've been the one donating, they've been the one letting be known, like, we're not going to stand for this. It's very beautiful to see. I actually spoke to my grandma, I think it was yesterday, and she said that a change is coming. She said that she's happy to see this. Mm-hmm. And she does believe with all of this, we might have to keep going, but like, I think that we all know that we're not going nowhere.
I don't think we're going to be alive to see the change because there's so much that has to change.
Right.
I think our kids will reap those benefits when they become adults. And to me, we all have boys in here. Yeah. We all have boy children, and I just feel like that's what, like you just said, that's what matters because we're doing this for them. And when you ask me, you know, like, far as what do we feel like has changed, I think social media. Mm. I think far as these these murders are being filmed and the juries are labeling it as an accident, and they're not even convicting law enforcers. That's a slap in the face every fucking time. Because it's like, so cops are more superior, you know, than a black person who's just can't even make it into booking, can't even get a bond. You just strip them of their rights right then and there. It's fucked up. But then when you think about the history of the police, like, they come from slave patrols.
Right, exactly.
And then you think about the judges who were KKK children, KKK grandchildren. Like, you think, like, damn, we got a whole lot of shit to fix.
But these,
like,
KKK rallies.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw one in Iowa, like a guy, he had protested, he bought his guns down there and everything because he felt like it was pointless. And then I just read about the Tennessean this morning that there were people down there with rifles, but they stopped them on a walking bridge.
Oh, wow. They
stopped them on a walking bridge. Like, so what is your point? That's why I don't understand all lives matter. And I'll break it down like to this.
I was
like,
just about to bring that up.
Man, I saw a good video, and the video was pretty much saying when you break a bone, when you say you break your arm, and you go to your doctor, and your doctor's like, you tell him, like, oh, I broke my arm today, but he's like, oh, you gotta worry about your foot. You gotta worry about your kneecap. You gotta worry about your neck.
I love that.
But you're like, the only part that's really injured is my arm.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, you compare that to, like, the lives. We're not saying that black lives matter more than, we're not saying black lives matter, period. We're just saying black lives matter because we're the only race that's being truly hurt by this. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about it, well, I know you said brown, referring to Hispanics, some of them have better privileges than black people. Mm-hmm. Some of them even view themselves as superior than black people. Mm-hmm. And that's why I said on my social media post yesterday, a lot of foreigners come over in this country, they want to reap the benefits of what black Americans have already done. You want to get the free labor. You want to get the luxury of being in America, but you won't fight for us. Right. But we've been going through this shit. And that's sad.
It is. The crazy thing is about that protest on Thursday, like I said, the police was blocking us off. We rode past NES, and it was two buses of that said Department of Corrections.
I saw that.
And it was like 10 state troopers. I don't think they arrested anybody. I didn't hear nothing about it. But I noticed that, and I thought that was something very interesting to see. I'm like, y'all, they was like you said, they were afraid, and they was ready to actually, you know, if they needed to lock some people up, they was definitely because of what happened, transpired a couple weeks ago with the protest. What it was like a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why. But I think it's very beautiful to see that 50 states, like each state had every protest.
Yeah, every. Yeah, I posted that everywhere. Just because Alaska, nigga. Alaska. I had to actually Google it. I'm like, let me see if these niggas in Anchorage getting busy like that.
It's not that many black people in Alaska. I don't think it is. It's not that many. That's actually very interesting because I didn't even think of Alaska as a 50 in the States. So.
And then countries like London, Paris, Netherlands, Amsterdam. You know, like you got influencers, supermodels like Ducky Thot calling out Australia. Yeah. But I was watching Australia news, like, cause I'm a super weird guy, I be on all this type of shit. Like Australia news was calling out, you feel me, Donald Trump for this like publicity stunt that he just did, where he walked in, well, he cleared out through tear gas at the protesters just to get the photo out with the Bible. Right. And like they got the real footage of that, you know what I'm saying? And Australia is talking about that, and that's major because Australia is one of our biggest allies in America. Mm-hmm. And once they turn on us, everybody's already against us because there's motherfuckers in the office. But once they turn on us, it's a wrap.
Yeah, and they actually, and that's another thing that I've been noticing, that white people have been very upset at Donald Trump, like on how he's handling the whole thing. They've been so upset. It is very interesting to watch because you know this man a fool. And that's why I'm like, I wonder how do people who voted for him, like, do they still think of the same way? Like,
they do. Some do.
I think some definitely do, and I think some is like, damn. Because some actually really thought that Trump was really going to do something for the economy. But I think...
So it's like, that makes me go, when you say economically, that I instantly think of like people being upset about buildings being destroyed. Like, you buildings can be replaced.
They can.
And if you're a business owner, it's a 98% chance you're going to have business insurance.
Right.
You're going to be protected. So why the fuck are we even talking about business?
Anyway, girls, you should have some type of insurance, rental insurance, car insurance, some type of insurance. And if you have a business and that you're liable for, you definitely need insurance. So I'm not. Did y'all see what the dude that's who owns Off-White, the black guy? What's his name?
50 Virgil.
50, yes. They told his ass up.
I'm gonna keep it to 50 with y'all. I am not buying Off-White.
Me either. I was looking at some Off-White stuff and I'm like, that's it. That's over with.
He did some very green stuff. Like, you feel me? As far as seeing a picture of his family, the family portrait, it's like your daughter's hair looks like, you feel me, she's not being properly taken care of. And she's a black child. At the end of the day, I don't give a fuck how biracial people feel. If you have even a drop,
you're black.
Like, I've seen people going back and forth about that today, actually.
Like, it's just unacceptable. And then how the family even had him in the picture. I mean, they're probably ready to crop his ass out. Let shit go left. Like, oh, it's easy to crop you out because you're already standing out to the side. But it's very telling. I said it to say this. It's very telling for him to be a black man and all of your executive boards or all of your executive employees are white.
That tells a lot.
It says a lot. And I can't fuck with that at this point in age. Like, I can't fuck with companies like that anymore. Like, some of my favorite companies, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
If you won't release those statistics, let me see how many black people really work with you.
Who's actually on the board? I worked at one of my last job. That was one of the biggest things. And I said, too, the people, like, everybody who works that's on the e-board or in a higher position is white. And that's telling you how they feel. Like, they're, and I worked at a company, it was all white men. Not even a white woman was up there. And I'm like, that tell you a lot about how they actually feel about their company and their employees. I just seen Serena husband, I think his name is Alex.
Alex, yeah.
Who from said that he was stepping
down on Reddit.
Yeah, he said he was stepping down and he wanted to give his seat to
a black.
I thought that was very interesting, especially with him having a black daughter, a black wife. I think that's very telling what how he feels. And maybe I'd also think Serena coming in his life actually maybe changed some of his perspective.
Yeah. Because he said when his black daughter gets of age, she's gonna ask, what did you do?
Yeah.
That matters. And not too many white people, you know, they even view that. So I think now when I apply for jobs, my first question, probably my third question, is probably going to be, who is your diversity officer here?
That's a good.
That's real.
Like, because I want to know. Because if it's a white person, they're not going to be able to relate. No. I'm going to just say it. And I'm not even going to say people of color. Just, they're not even going to identify with black struggles.
No, they're not.
And it's very important to have somebody black in that seat, because we go to work and we code switch and we don't even realize it. We experience the microaggression. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We experience the systematic racism. We experience our colleagues receiving positions that they're not even qualified for. Yes. But they get it just because they're white.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and that's totally unfair, because we have to work so much. Like, we have to work so harder. Mm-hmm. So much harder.
How you think about companies, how y'all feel about companies that now are doing, like, press release and, like, donating money? Seen Target. I thought it was very interesting to see Bank of America, because they was just in the news not too long ago about how they was discriminating against black people. But they offered, I think it was like $1 billion they were donating to the black communities and that they wanted to do. Target does a lot for the black community.
I'm gonna say, they already do a lot. And I like the CEO's statement, even when it came to the shit that happened in Minnesota.
Me too.
Like, it's a building. It'll be okay. We can build another one.
Yeah. I just read today. I didn't actually read the email, but somebody wrote Amazon.
And Jeff responded
back to the email about the Black Lives Matter. And thought this was very interesting about, you know, Amazon and Jeff, especially, you know, they already in the tabloid about how he don't pay his employees, but that's a different thing. But I thought that was very interesting to see him respond back to the email. I'm also very pleased to see big companies coming out. Nike, Jordan.
Was down for diversity in
a long time ago. Yeah,
it's the companies that I felt should have been coming out that benefit off the black dollar.
Yeah,
so I wasn't gonna trip about Target, because I'm looking at your past, what you were already doing before.
Right.
I feel like a lot of companies right now are only coming out because they know how powerful a black dollar actually is.
Right.
They know once we cancel some, it's over with. It's over with. But I feel like, you know, as you want to look, you want to be conscious and awareness of, like, far as a PR business standpoint, that if I put this statement out, we're good. We're in a safe zone. But again, that goes back to what I'm saying. How many employees, black employees, do you actually have working for you?
That's something that Wendy's did. That you, I'm glad. I'm sorry.
No, but you're good.
The Wendy's, they was like a list of companies. It was Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A. We already know Chick-fil-A, how they feel. But Wendy's actually tweeted some stuff saying, like, that they didn't donate to Trump.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was very interesting on how they try to go back on their statement, even if they did donate to Trump at a point in time, them going back and trying to basically appeal back to the black people. And like you said, the black dollar holds a lot of weight for all these companies.
And even if I look at, like, if you voted for Trump in 2016, you knew, he didn't give a fuck about minorities.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. You look at the history of this man. He don't give a fuck about women. Grab a right by a pussy.
He don't.
He don't give a fuck about Hispanics. Build the wall. Like, he does not give a fuck. So I feel like people knew it then. They didn't care. They just knew they didn't want Hillary in the house.
Right. Yeah, like, they just worried knew about. That.
So I look at it like this. Would I rather have Hillary in the office over Trump? Hell the fuck yeah. At least Hillary slightly cares about, you feel me, minorities. She slightly wants to help our community, even though she kind of destroyed it, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But I just feel like Trump is not for human lives, period. Like, he's not, he's a businessman. We mm-hmm. we elected they elected, you feel me, a reality star, someone that's a business minded, someone who comes from a KKK family, someone who has notorious amount of lawsuits against him, and them lawsuits that he lost, he had to settle out in court. They knew what they were doing. They
really elected a racist and a rapist into the office. Yeah. And that's like, I've been watching, I watched 2 episodes of Jeffrey.
No,
a documentary. This man, he is somebody who came off white privilege. And like, if you guys watch that documentary, I only watched 2 episodes.
On Netflix. Shout out to Netflix.
It is so crazy. Like, the man had got a job. He lied on his resume about going to college. He never went to college. Well, he did go to college, but he ended up dropping out. He stole millions of dollars from somebody. Mm-hmm. And then he was living in Palm Beach raping these teenagers, and he has sex trafficking going on. And the Palm Beach police basically like said they couldn't do nothing about it, so they gave it to the FBI. And it's like, it took all these years for them to do this just to get him charged. Like, and then him committed, I don't really think he committed suicide, and that's a different story.
I think Trump killed him. Trump had him killed.
I do too, because they said, you know, a lot of celebrities and
politicians,
lot of people were going in there, and somebody has tapes. Well, the man was recording like everybody that stepped in there to have sex with the underage girl was recorded, but they couldn't find the tapes or something.
I can believe that. Like, if you think about what powerful man have y'all ever known that did not have a position to where they could blackmail somebody?
That's true.
That's very true.
Like, so he's probably thinking in his mind, all these high profile people, I have to have some type of dirt on you just in case when the heat does come or pressure is applied to me, everybody's going down.
That's that true. Is wild.
I recommend you guys to watch. I only watched 2 episodes because, like, as a woman, to see these are like, you know, 14 year olds to 18 year olds basically. And the way he did it, like, he offered them money. And like,
it wasn't just females.
Yeah.
So it was, you know.
It's just like, it was a very, like, sad, touching thing. But, yeah, politicians and all, he's not the only person that I know that was doing, you know, was doing stuff to women. It's a guy. I can't remember his name. But he been donating a lot of money to the Democratic candidates.
He's talking about, he in California.
And he was taking black men. And like, they were dying from overdose, and he never went. They were actually dying from overdose
at his house,
and they wasn't even thinking nothing of it.
I remember reading about this a year or two ago. But yeah, I mean, that's what happens.
So another thing that's like, this is kind of not related to that, but it's bothering me is a lot of the bars and stuff in Nashville, a lot of people are, which is really already expected, but a lot of people are coming out saying, you know, when a lot of black people would come in there, or if there were too many black people in there, they would say like it was too many black people in there.
I didn't even change the music.
Changing the music, because a lot of tourists, you know, Nashville is music city. A lot of tourists be there. So I just think that's crazy. For instance, Project 615?
Yeah, fuck them too.
What is going on with that? I know a lot of people have been talking about that. Project 615.
I posted like, actually edited them and said, fuck you. Derek, he's the owner of Project 615. Like, he was on some racist shit. Like, apparently he had fired a black man for eating the last biscuit, Chick-fil-A biscuit, in a meme. But a white lady came out. She was a former employee, and she was like, no, this is irony for him to post anything about a certain amount of proceeds go to the Black Lives Matter organization when he's racist. He doesn't care about black people. He fired this white lady for saying she cared. She was invested pretty much in too many black people's lives. So he fired her for that.
He came out
and said, no, that's not it. That's not the reason. You know, you were stating false accusations, da 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 da. But she, like, kind of killed him. She was like, okay, well, tell me who works for you that's black. Very telling.
That's very telling.
Like, if you are, you know, self funded organization or whatever the case may be, a volunteer organization, and you don't have any black people that work for you.
Yeah, he been trying to post,
but now
he's posting all this stuff. Like, yeah. No, just leave it alone.
But now it's kind of like, if you did say it, I feel like he would have never changed the 10-15% to 100% now.
Wow, like, I gotta read up on that, because that's very interesting. And you know, the thing is about Nashville, because you guys are actually from Nashville, so. How do you guys feel about the way that Nashville, like how North Nashville is starting to be gentrification? And
they're trying to wipe history away, but that's per usual. They always try to wipe black history away. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just the history of Broadway within itself. Like, you're trying to take everything from us to where we don't have anything, to where we have to move to Antioch, to where we have to move Clarksville, Bellevue, you know what I'm saying? White people were living out there. That was their area. If you lived in the city, that was you. You know what I'm saying? You had the mom and pop shops. It was like a family. But now it's not like that, because when you step out, your neighbor may be from fucking New York or some shit, and they trying to tell you shit about the city you lived in your entire life.
That is true.
Like, how does that work, sir? Do you know why we're even called the Music City? Like, do you know your history? If you don't, give me 5 minutes, I can school you. Like, that's like my attitude towards it. And then when you mention about downtown, like, it's been fuck 'em downtown. Yes. Like, you got, if you look at all the owners, like, you got Jason Adeline, Kid Rock. These are people who come out and say they publicly fuck with Trump. They publicly don't fuck with the Neil and shit. Why would I want to be anywhere that I know I'm not welcome? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I've been to those clubs before just off the basis of I'm going to kick it with my homegirl.
Right.
But it is fucked up when we're having to be in line for us for fucking forever. And then when we get in, we don't even get served drinks. Like, the waitresses, you feel me, the bartenders will ignore us.
Yeah,
you
that is very true.
They will wait, but it's like, girl, you must not know. I like to give away money just off the strength of your services. But you don't never understand that, because you treated me as if I wasn't important. So, no, I'm cool.
I do think, like, the protesting is probably not going to end no time soon. It's so much going on.
Let them be found not guilty.
This is gonna be
on fire everywhere.
We need to the
please burn down Sally Mae.
And Breonna Taylor, we have not forgot about that at all. Like, no. That those officers need to be in jail, under the jail. Like, they have Louisville need to fix that, because they just
David McTee. Yeah. He just died this week.
But the little boy, I cannot think of his name. I know y'all heard about this. This was a while ago where he was wrapped up in the mat.
In
Georgia.
Georgia, but I think his name was like Kenneth something.
Still haven't.
They said it was suicide.
The
logic of that. But this is what I try to get somebody to understand when it comes to that. The coroner and the DA receive the same paycheck from the same person. Corner of DA. So who's the corner gonna be on side with?
Exactly.
Like, this is all comes back down to like money or morals here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so glad that, you feel me, George Floyd's family, they hired another corner, outside corner, to do an autopsy. Because that doesn't even sound right. He dies from pre-existing conditions. How the fuck will he? No, he died because he was suffocating 9 minutes on somebody's neck. Two other bodies are on you at the end as well. No, that's how you die.
Exactly. And I'm glad they did that. It's so crazy, because within the pandemic and social media, we didn't hear about 3 or 4 cases of either police or you got racist ass white people killing somebody because of the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. It took them so long to arrest them. 3 black people in Georgia for that killing of the jogger, the black jogger. I can't remember. It's just crazy to me, you know. And I had seen when that was going on, you know, I had some white friends that were going out, you know, everybody was going out for the jog for his birthday. But these people are so young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this can happen to you. Like, and the thing is, like, I was telling my friend, like, I know personally people who've been killed by the police officers. I have. I know somebody who was killed by Kiwayne Carrington in Champaign, Illinois, who was 15 years old in 2009, was killed by Champaign police, and all he was trying to do was, a neighbor called the police. They seen two little black boys outside their window, outside somebody another house window, and they looked like they was trying to break in. They didn't know that these two black teenagers actually lived in the house, and they couldn't get in the house, so they left their key, so they was just trying to jump through the window. Mm-hmm. How many people left their key and jumped through the window? That's something normally that happens. And the officer came, and they basically harassed them kids and shot and killed a 15-year-old boy, and all they did was settle. That was it. They did a settlement with the child. And then also I have a cousin whose father was killed by Memphis police, Dwayne Bailey. The Memphis police did kill him, and they did not only just kill him, they killed him on his only son's 16th birthday. So, like, this stuff can affect people, like, personally. You can know somebody personally who either was killed because of their skin color or police brutality, all type of stuff. So, it's like a wake-up call. And I'm glad that the country is waking up, and not just the country, the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, and what matters, like you said, like, if I don't live to see it, or as long as I leave this world and I feel like my children will have a stand in this country. That's what really matters the most.
Right.
That's what matters the most to everything.
Have y'all talked to, like, y'all's boys about anything, or do y'all think they're too young?
Or my son, when he sees me go out the house with a mask and a poster, he's like, "Mama, you going to fight the bad guys?" Like, yeah, I'm about to fight the bad guys.
That's cute. That is so cute. I haven't spoke to, taught anything to Aziz and Zion about it. They're 4 years old. I don't think they actually understand yet. They might understand. I just don't think they do. But I haven't actually had any conversation. But I do know that I'm going to start having a conversation, especially since they're getting older and they, you know, going to be experiencing. They're going to be 5 next year and they're going to end up going to kindergarten. And I want them to understand and see and open their eyes. I know Pebbles actually have a friend who's a white guy, and him and his wife adopted a little black girl, and he sent a text message to Pebbles talking about his daughter. Mm-hmm. She's not just a little light skin, she's black, she has very kinky hair, and they adopted her, and that's something that he said that, you know, she's too young to have a conversation with, but he do want her to know that her parents love her. And that they're going to do whatever they can do to fight for her. Mm-hmm. And make sure that she is equal in the world. And I think that's the best thing. We hear about white people adopting, you know, black children all the time. But when they adopt them, I want them to fully understand that, yes, you their parents. But when they go out that door, the color of their skin, that's what's going to matter out there.
That brings me, so we're talking about these children. That brings me about, I don't know if y'all heard about this case. It happened, like, it was on the West Coast, though. I cannot think of this kid's name, but this picture always comes up when it's police versus us type shit. Mm-hmm. He's black kid, brown leather jacket. He's hugging the police. Mm-hmm. He's held a hat on, mm-hmm. crying, whatever. But his parents killed him.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like terrifying to know. You know, he was adopted and you all killed him, and I don't think I even got a chance to read the details, because when it comes to kids, I have a very soft spot for it. Right. So
it's very touching.
It is.
I think, is this the one, did he have siblings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they made him take that photo.
I read about it. It's actually a very sad case, because it was 3 siblings, I think, that actually was adopted together, and their mom was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. And what happened was the sister.
The 2 moms, I think it was 2 moms, mm-hmm. they adopted them, mm-hmm. and they went off the cliff or something. I don't know. I was actually listening to the podcast. I just started a podcast
about it.
That's talking about it.
Yeah.
So
I was reading, and the three children, the siblings, they all had a mom, and their mom was a drug addict. The system took the kids from their mom, and they went to go live with their aunt. But their aunt, you know, was a working mom who needed a babysitter, and she let their mom watch them. And the system found out and took them. So he was adopted by these. They were all adopted by these white people, and they were abusive. And what's so crazy, the day that they, you know, ran off that cliff, the Child Protective Services was supposed to come to the house. but they kept getting reports on how abusive they was, and like, and it's just sad because basically the system failed them.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, when it comes to human rights, we're gonna be fighting for a long time, because adoption agencies, you know, I every time I think of adoption, I think of Daniel Fernandez. Did y'all watch that case on Netflix?
I can't watch it. It's too. You talking about the
little Hispanic kid?
I can't watch it. It's too much.
From what I hear,
I was three. I was crying for 3 days straight.
Yeah, I'm not gonna cry like that. Yeah, I'm not.
But like that hurt me. And then so when I was to find out that Governor Bill Lee had just signed, he's going for an anti-gay adoption bill.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I posted this and like. And I'm going to tell you what the bill pretty much says. But the bill pretty much says that if it's a religious organization can deny two gay couples, a gay couple coming in, you know, wanting to adopt. And my whole thing is, imagine you sitting in this foster home and you're wondering, like, why am I not being adopted? Does nobody love me? But just based off somebody's personal preference, you're sitting there because a couple wanted to, you know what I'm saying, adopt you. But the adoption agency told them no. That's fucked up on so many levels. Like, that's fucked up on so many levels. And I referenced that to Daniel Fernandez's case when his gay uncle wanted to adopt him. And the state of California pretty much said, we don't find him fit for it. Right. He was willing to pay the price because you have to pay a price, you know what I'm saying, to even adopt. Mm-hmm. And he was willing to do that. And this kid, you know what I'm saying, my gosh. Like, how cruel can you be? Like, just based off somebody's preference, that would hurt me. That would kill me enough. I was to leave this earth today, and my son's father leave this earth today, and our son's in an adoption home, and even though a gay couple will love my child just as equally as much as I will love my child, right. His father will love our child, and he's sitting there wanting to go home, and he can't have family home.
Yeah, like, because of that. And I'm glad you said that, because you're right. We're going to be fighting for a long time, because that's something that definitely, I haven't even seen. And speaking of Netflix documentaries, I still haven't seen When They See Us. And I watched the first 10 minutes, then I turned it off, and I have never turned it on again. I personally cannot watch it. Ooh, Lord. Sorry. I personally cannot watch it because, like, we all have sons, and to know that these young boys went through that is just very, like, it breaks my heart. Like, it's something that I just cannot imagine.
Fuck Linda Fairstein. like, fuck Donald Trump for putting the ads out like that. Shout out to Jay-Z for just putting some ads in the newspaper as well. But fuck Donald Trump for doing that shit again. Another racist act that he's committed. But I can't watch it either, because it is sad, you know, to think about these kids, 15, 16-year-olds, going to the park and being falsely accused. But that's what I'm saying. Like, our skin color is truly a threat. That's crazy. But I'm more scared of being around a bunch of white people. Like, I'm going to keep it real. These motherfuckers be shooting up places for no reason. And that's what kills me out. It trips me out when people be like, well, and white people be like, but y'all don't preach about black on black crimes.
Oh, that's what I was trying to speak
on. Or black on black, or when black people say that, I'm like, how retarded do you sound? When have you ever known a black person kill somebody because they was a nigga? When have you ever known that? Like, oh man, I popped that nigga down because he's a nigga. I popped that down because his skin complexion a little darker than mine. What? If a black person kill a black person, it's normally out of 10, it's over some malicious shit. Like, it's either beef, or somebody just trying to rob them, or whatever the case, retaliation, something. It's always an underlying issue. It's never off the fact that it's because we're black. So they really got to stop with that narrative.
They do.
Because white people will.
So they
you can be at school, they're killing kids, niggas.
They're shooting up the block.
They shouldn't have movie theaters. How fucking fucked up is that? Like,
I mean, it was a white Dylan Roof went into a freaking church and shot up, like, and they welcomed him in the church. You know what I'm saying? Like,
just think about another type of evil.
Like, you have to be so evil for you to go in the church and shoot them up, and they welcome you in the church. You know,
some people truly be devils. Truly are devils.
I just finished mine, so I might be lit.
That's okay. This is a real ass episode of that.
Right.
I would definitely hear y'all on it. Whoever on it.
So how mental? How are you guys doing mentally during all of this?
I'm exhausted.
I had to take a break from social media.
I'm doing a little bit. I've been trying to stay off social media. I'm not on Twitter right now. And I've been trying to I wasn't on Instagram. And if I do post on Instagram, I just been posting stuff especially about Champagne, because that's where I'm from. So I've just been posting stuff about what's going on in Champagne, the protesting and stuff like that. I just found out in Illinois, I think it's called Annie, Illinois, or the nickname is Sundown. It's a very racist city. And they even having a protest today, which was very interesting. That city is known to be very racist and
gotta be the kids. Shout out to them kids.
Yeah, so they actually putting together and doing a protest today. And one thing, I'm from Illinois, but I have family in Mississippi, and my mom always taught me don't think in Illinois people not racist, or don't think people up north not racist, because they just as racist. They just don't show it like the people down south. Like, at least you got white people who gonna actually tell you to your face that they racist, mm-hmm. and then you got white people who gonna hide it from you. And I'd rather you tell me.
Tell me too. So I can be like, fuck you to your face. Like,
don't be secret.
Because I'm an equal opportunist. How you may feel about me, okay, cool. Right. Like, you feeling that way? You mm-hmm. feeling that disrespectful? Then I'm going to be disrespectful back.
Right, yeah. So I think I'm glad that we were able to sit down, have a conversation. And I do feel like if you people are on social media and it's starting to be overwhelming and exhausting, that is perfectly fine. Get off social media for a couple days, take a break. If you're not out there protesting, but you're out there donating, you're still donating to the cause. I want to say shout out to people who are out there in frontline mm-hmm. protesting. I want to give a shout out to people who's paying to get people bailed out, or donating to Black Lives Matters, or donating to all these Black communities organizations. Like, all of that is perfectly fine. And if you on social media being vocal, that's what we need. White, Black, whoever, like, that's what we need. We need to make sure that this not gonna die out. And like you said,
it can't die out. Because I feel like, although I'm exhausted, like, people are like looking mm-hmm. like at my shit now just to be informed.
Right.
Like, I think today I posted that 34 states cops can rape a woman.
I seen you post that. And that's crazy.
Like, and then some people like messaging me like, damn, I just really good with this. This is really real. And I'm like, just imagine you being in custody and a cop can say, he can force himself on you and say that you consented to it, but it was really right. So it's walls we have to continue tearing down as far as human rights.
What's so crazy about that is, how is that legal? But if you a CO and you had sex with an inmate.
Or better yet, if you an inmate and inmates can't have sex.
They can't have sex, so how can the police? Like, that's...
Laws were written by men who feel they can force themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. you gotta think what type of man written these laws. Come on now, these are KKK.
Yeah, you right.
It's a long, it's gonna be a long fight. But yeah.
Yeah, definitely a long fight. But we can't give up, we can't let up. And we just have to get going. We'll keep going no matter how exhausted we get. We have to keep speaking out for our people. Our children, our husbands, our fathers, whoever. Not even just the men, us too, because we're Black women. So the Black community within itself.
We cannot stop saying their name. We have to keep letting people know that we're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. And the cause, the revolution will be stabilized. And I've been telling people I knew the revolution was going to come, and we're living in it. So.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. Until next time, everyone. See you later.
See you.